Hi, I'm Scott Hanselman, and it's Azure Friday. And today we've got Nicole Birdie, and she's going to explain to me how to manage large amounts of throughput with Event Hubs.
That's correct. Good to be here, Scott.
Thank you very much. Appreciate it. I'm having a little trouble getting my head around some of the different differences between those Event Hubs, and there's queues and topics and service bus and things like that.
Yeah, both of them have to do with sending events through a reliable pipeline, but totally get where some of this confusion is coming from. And the main difference is that Event Hubs have been optimized for high volumes of throughput, where service bus queues and topics do more processing in the service itself, which tends to slow down the throughput. So Event Hubs really are focused on getting as much data through the pipe as possible in as reliable of a way.
And is it getting it through the pipe to another side where it's picked up and being analyzed, or is it getting through the pipe and then persisted or sent into another system?
Right, so it's a pull model. So the Event Hub basically acts as a buffer. It's kind of temporary storage where the data by default will last for a day. You can extend that up to 7 days if you really need that data to stick around. But you push the data into the Event Hub, and then your consumer of the event data will go in and pull the data as needed. So, and you can have multiple consumers reading from the same Event Hub if that's what your application needs.
Okay. So as an example, I've got an application where I do real-time dictation, and someone talks into a mobile device, and then it goes through right now Service Bus and into Windows. It's a high throughput in the sense that we have a lot of users, but it's very immediate. I need to talk, have it go through, and then happen. That sounds like a Service Bus appropriate thing.
Right. Well, it depends on how much your analytics is going on in the service itself. So if all you're doing is collecting this voice data and putting it in a database for storage later on, then Event Hubs might actually be better. If you have, you know, thousands of users all sending this data back all at the same time, then Event Hubs might actually be better for you if it's all ending up in the same place. Because you point it at this one endpoint, and Event Hubs will take your data, and then it oftentimes is routed through Azure Stream Analytics to do some preliminary sorting of the data, and then from there gets routed into whatever processing pipe you have going on.
Oh, interesting. And could I even, and is it foolish, I'm going to ask a number of foolish questions, that I could even send it to two places, like Service Bus for immediate routing to another application to be acted upon, and Event Hubs with the high throughput for running through Stream Analytics later?
You can do that, or you can run it through Stream Analytics right then.
Really?
It's not mandatory that it goes from Event Hubs to some sort of like a colder storage for analytics upon later. It's an option you have.
Okay, so then there's no need to persist it unnecessarily.
Correct.
Okay, cool. And you have said to me before that it's like a big buffer in the cloud. It's a big buffer in the sky.
It's a good way of thinking about it.
So then there are people who are probably watching this show who are thinking, I still don't quite understand why I would need this. Like, is there an amount of data or an amount of data per second that they should go, we're making 10 megs a second and we have nowhere to put it and we're struggling?
Right. Yeah. So a good way that I think about how, like, when will an application need Event Hubs is if you are producing on the one hand a large amount of data, and then on the other hand you'll need to process a large amount of data at the same time. And it's if you don't want to deal with the possibility of maybe dropping some data on the floor, and you might not be able to pick up all that data at the same time that you have the analytics going on, you can push your event data to Event Hubs and then basically pick it up at your leisure rather than having to say, okay, I need to pick up this data now, otherwise I'm going to lose it forever. Instead, you have a day from when the event is first created to process it.
And this seems like this is a kind of a computer science thing in that it's a solved problem, and if your company is making huge amounts of data and you're currently struggling with reliability and collection of this data, and you're an insurance company.
Right. It's a solved problem. If you don't want to have to handle whether or not you're dropping events on the floor, then you should, by all means, use Event Hubs. We've dealt with that problem, so you don't have to.
So unless it's your company's core competency, there's just no reason for you to be trying to do this yourself.
That's a fair thing to say.
Doesn't it? It seems like so many companies oversimplify these things, and they'll just take it and try to insert it into SQL as fast as possible. And when they try to solve the problem, they just turn SQL up, and they just like, well, just need a bigger SQL server, and we can insert faster.
Right. Yeah, and that's I think one of the ways that Event Hubs is interesting in that you don't have to immediately put it someplace. You can actually collect this data, and you don't have to put it in a database before you do any processing on it. You can, in fact, do some of that preliminary processing in the cloud rather than just say, okay, I've got to put it in the database, and any sort of processing has to happen after the database level.
Okay. Well, we set up the surface and the pen here so you can draw a couple of pictures for me, because I wanted to get my head around these usage models, because we've got the generic, a whole lot of data is being created.
Right.
But it could be huge amounts being sent infrequently. It could be little amounts being sent frequently. One center, multiple center. Help me understand.
Yeah. So like you said, there are kind of two main categories of how data is getting into the Event Hub. They can have one sender that's just very, very talkative, and it's just sending a whole lot of data through this one Event Hub. Or you could have multiple senders, and that would be something like an IoT type of deployment where you have multiple devices that are all sending maybe status, maybe it's sensor readings to this Event Hub for further processing. Mm-hmm. Now, for the single sender or a small number of senders, one of the things that we've heard from our customers is that they have a hard time getting the throughput that they'd like. And the way you can kind of think about this is that Event Hubs is this big bucket or this big fat pipe that they can pipe water through, and they've got this whole big dam of data, and they installed the stinky little faucet, and they're wondering why they're not filling up their pipe. And it's because they're not sending the data in as optimal a way that they could to get the throughput that they really need.
I see. So if they just go and write a naive for loop and they pull data from wherever they're pulling it from and they start throwing it at you.
Yeah. Then we can take it, but if you're not throwing it at us as fast enough as you could, then you're really not getting the benefits of the throughput. Mm-hmm. So one thing that you can think of is, does your data, like, does order matter for the events that you're sending? And if order does not matter, then you should probably be sending the data asynchronously rather than synchronously.
Interesting. So what does order matter, like is it, well, why would order matter? I mean, I could timestamp something, and then ultimately order doesn't really matter because the timestamp carries order.
Right. And that's a great point. It's where in the process of order mattering do you really have to deal with that data? So you could order your data by timestamp when it's going into the Event Hub, or you could order it by data after it's already out of the Event Hub. So you could do some sort of merge sort as the data is coming in, if you could afford that. That's kind of an expensive operation. You can also do some sorting of the data within the Event Hub, depending on if that suits your needs. You can use a partition key to specify which partition of the Event Hub you can send your data. So you can say, I want all data from this geographic region to go in this spot, and this geographic region to go to this partition.
Okay, that's really meaningful. I kind of had a light bulb moment when you said, well, at what point does order matter? Mm-hmm. Like, the data almost always has a timestamp.
Right.
You're not going to let its order dictate, you have to have the data, the timestamp, along with the data.
Right.
But does it matter when you're going through stream analytics? Do you have a window of a certain size, If you have a window of a certain size and it's out of order, can you sort within that window? Or might you get accidentally someone outside that window?
Right. And how bad is it if you do accidentally get maybe one event out of 1,000 events that's outside your window? Is that going to make or break you? It depends on your application.
Right.
But in cases where when the events coming in from a single sender don't really matter, and this is where I'll get to the OneNote, one of the things we recommend is just send your data asynchronously. If you need the timestamp, it comes with the event. And one thing we recommend doing is kind of building a queue to store all these asynchronous messages of like about 100. So basically, like, this is your staging ground of where your data is going in. And you start to fill it up with send async events. Mm-hmm. And then as these events get sent, they leave and a new event can pop in the top. And so at that point, you always have events that are being ready to send, but you're not necessarily limiting yourself to sending one and then waiting to hear back, like, oh, did that complete? Okay, good. Now I can send a new one. Because if it's something like sensor data, you just kind of want to keep that stuff going rather than just waiting to hear, okay, they got what temperature it is now. Now I've got to send what temperature it is right at this very moment.
Mm-hmm. So how do things get more complicated when you've got multiple senders? Because you said you could have one sender sending 50K or 500K at a time, but with IoT, you might have thousands of devices sending a K or two at a time.
Right. Some of this still matters in terms of what I talked about with kind of having a staging ground for your messages. Mm-hmm. But in terms of the multiple messages, you're probably going to be a little less chatty than if you have a single sender going through the Event Hub. Hmm. You'll still have to think about things like, well, does the order matter in terms of when I'm sending it? What types, like, does it have to be synchronous? Can I send it asynchronously? What can I do there to make a difference? And really, the main thing to think about in that case is what's happening to the data after it goes through Event Hub. Because a lot of times it's, making sure that the data sender and the data receiver know what the other one is doing so that they can properly figure out kind of together what's the best way to deal with the data that's being passed through the Event Hub.
And what is the scaling model for Event Hub? Is there a slider bar somewhere that takes, you know, the, as much money as I have, it can get as big as it needs to get?
Yeah, so the Event Hub is built in terms of throughput units, which is the amount of egress and ingress that an Event Hub can take in a given second in this case, and they're mm-hmm. built by hour. And one throughput unit of Event Hub is 100 events per ingress or 1 megabyte. Of data, and then egress is up to 2 megabytes of data.
So and that's per?
That's per Event Hub.
No, but like per second, per minute?
Oh, per second, sorry. Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Per second.
Because some people might be thinking, that's a really small number.
Yeah, no,
but
no.
You realize it's actually a very large number.
Yeah, very large number since it's per second.
Okay, cool. And then how do you know that you're hitting a throughput limit? It
mm-hmm.
just, it backs you up, or the HTTP request just
Yeah, you'll get error messages and exceptions saying like, hey, you're over your limit, maybe you should do something about it.
And is that message then dropped?
I believe it's queued for sending. It just doesn't send the message.
Oh,
so
okay.
If you increase your throughput, your number of throughput units after that, we'll then send those backed up messages.
Hmm. Now, if I'm doing something over the course of like a weekday, for example, I've got lots of information coming in, and then weekends, there's less. Can I scale up and scale down at will?
Yeah, you can order throughput units by the hour. So you have to pay for 1 hour's worth of throughput units for however many throughput units you're using, up to, I believe it's 20.
Hmm. So then I could theoretically, during my time zone and my work day, have them turn up and then save money. I don't have to run them 24 hours a day if I don't want to.
Yeah, that's correct.
Okay, cool.
Yeah.
This is great information.
Glad you like it.
We're learning all about managing throughput with Event Hubs here on Azure Friday.